From Streamline Publishing, the Radio and Television Business Report, and our friends at HispanicAd.com. Welcome to another great Hispanic radio podcast. My name is Adam R. Jacobson, and if you will, this is the CES 2019 edition. With me from Las Vegas, speaking right now live at the Encore, he is attending CES 2019, is Andy Watley. Mr. Watley is the Senior Vice President of Business Development and Partnerships for InStreamatic Incorporated. They're based out of San Francisco, and InStreamatic is a voice AI platform for voice-enabled advertising. My first impressions on that was, wow. Well, what does that mean for you, and what does that mean for Hispanic radio? Well, InStreamatic's mission is to, quote, revolutionize the advertising industry by allowing users to speak with ads, skip irrelevant ads, and drive curiosity to learn more in a hands-free environment just by saying so. Voice-activated advertising allows users to get a better ad experience, while advertisers can measure campaign performance and engagement, and publishers benefit with higher ad and fill-in rates. That's an interesting value proposition for Hispanic radio, all right, which we'll get to later in this podcast. But we'll start by talking about audio delivery in 2019, as Mr. Watley is at CES. How are things going on in the Encore, Andy?
The entire CES, as everyone knows, is a zoo with 180,000 or so of my closest friends. So it's great to be here.
Well, I hope that a lot of them are at least thinking about audio, if not radio, because that's really where the value proposition lies today for a lot of people in the broadcast media industry that are focused on what goes into the mic and not what goes on camera. So here's the first question I have for you, Andy, as we are talking a little bit about how Hispanic radio can capitalize on what's hot in tech. There's a swift transition in audio consumption that we're seeing on a global level. I personally witnessed this in Mexico City over the summer of 2018. Consumption of music via Spotify, while stuck in a traffic jam after another traffic jam after another traffic jam, is a reality, not only in the Bay Area, but in hubs like Mexico City. So let's look at what this means for Hispanic radio in the United States, where unlimited data plans and in-dash access to a world of audio choices at one's fingertips might take one away from Hispanic radio. But Hispanic radio has a unique value proposition that perhaps could make it more of a draw than Spotify. So what do you think in terms of the tech tools out there that are available for a Hispanic radio station to kind of lure in that listener that might sway somewhere else?
Sure. Because I work in a digital environment today, I might answer a little bit more audio-centric versus radio, but I think there's a real tight correlation between the two. I think one thing to kind of backstop everything else is the fact that if you look back at history, if you look back at, for instance, mobile consumption and early adoption of mobile device usage, the Hispanic marketplace was kind of the first ones there. That audience grew at a very, very rapid rate. And, you know, maybe partially because in some parts of the LATAM community or Mexico, it might be the only device somebody had. They didn't have a computer. They had a mobile phone. Mm-hmm. And so smartphone usage went through the roof very quickly and very early on. And then the rest of the world caught up. You saw that in Asia as well. But Mexico really and Hispanic Latin countries caught on very rapidly. So I think when you look at early adopters, the Hispanic marketplace is clearly a sweet spot for new technology growth, new media consumption trends. So I think that's kind of to keep in mind that you have a very open-minded audience to new technologies, and you might think otherwise, but it's just not the case. So I think that's kind of a big kind of overarching backstop over that. And I think as broadcasters specifically, you know, my background's in radio and later shifted to digital, but I owned, operated, managed radio stations for many, many years, and it's my first love of media. And still do love radio. I think that the Hispanic broadcaster needs to not look at how radio can perform better in this world, but how radio / audio can perform better. Because radio's done a really good job of branding themselves, of establishing formats that resonate with the audience, targeting the right audiences, and monetizing those assets. Radio's done a phenomenal job of that. And the next generation of that is, how do they continue to extend their brands in ways that leverage current technologies. And I think if they look at it as audio, audio includes radio. Radio is radio. It's broadcast from a, you know, from a tower. But I think if they see the bigger picture and start thinking that way, which of course many do, that it's easier to see the opportunities in front of them and not be thinking radio, but think audio and think listener and think advertiser, as opposed to kind of getting more singular about that. Does that make sense?
Yes. And, you know, we talk about brand extension, and that's something that is really integral to the growth of all radio, not just Hispanic radio. But I think that there's a specific opportunity with Spanish language radio programming and with formats that are of appeal to Hispanics that may even be in English. And this is where podcasts come in. Podcasts are really hot. So how do a broadcast company that is really just entrenched in Spanish language radio in particular, how do they get into the podcast world? What sort of advice would you have for those individuals that just don't have that knowledge?
You know, I think they have the knowledge. I think they sometimes don't know they have the knowledge.
Okay, so, good point.
So I think that in this case, if I were looking at, you know, the unique asset that I have as a radio station, as a Spanish language or a Hispanic targeted radio station, first and foremost, you have talent. You have people on the air that have a unique relationship with the audience. They resonate to the audience, and that provides a tool that most podcasters don't have. Radio stations have it in abundance. They have local talent that appeal to and resonate with an audience already. Not even to mention the fact that they have a megaphone for the promotion of the podcast, which is another, you know, a huge fundamental building block and asset. But going back to the talent thing first, they have unique talent. So let's say you had a humorous morning show, or you had a less humorous but topical afternoon show or personality. I mean, Latin and Hispanic radio is rich with high-level talent. And I think that if you look at that as the core asset of a successful marketing plan for establishing a podcast strategy, that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. So let's say, for instance, we're talking about that highly topical afternoon drive talent on the air. You look at all of the things that interest your particular target audience and say, okay, what could we develop podcasts on that would have not only appeal first and foremost to the audience, and to specifically to that talent's audience, but then what would also have appeal to those people that would pay for that, the mm-hmm. advertisers and sponsors. And I think that that's kind of the building blocks that you start with. Mm-hmm. The tools are a dime a dozen. There's so much out there today, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. And so that's the easy part, technically speaking. I think that the talent, and then how are you going to uniquely promote that on the air to drive more ears to that podcast audience? Mm-hmm. And so I think those are kind of like the two first steps and what really kind of make a lot of sense for thinking through your strategy on podcasting.
Andy, we know that smart speakers are a dominant technology that is getting a lot of exposure through the mainstream press at CES. And the radio industry has gone gaga over smart speakers as a way to, quote, get back in the home. I look at it as this. Well, why did radio leave the home in the first place? It comes down to talent. It comes down to content. And this is where Spanish language radio has really had the leg up. But how can Spanish language radio stations ensure that they are accessible on a smart speaker? If I say, hey, Alexa, play Kaku 105, I'm kind of at a difficult point because it's not going to understand me, or perhaps that radio station doesn't have the skills just yet. Where does the Spanish language radio operator come in to the game now to make sure that they're not missing out because all these skills are being said in English?
Well, first of all, the natural language understanding and voice AI has come a long, long way. And I think it probably will be understood. But there's a lot of vendors out there. I'm not going to mention any names here, commercial for anybody, but we're all familiar with a bunch of vendors out there that'll help you create skills and make sure that your radio station is findable in language on smart speakers and devices. So I don't think that's really the challenge. Mm-hmm. I think the challenge is, and it kind of goes back to what I said at the very beginning, radio stations, I think in streaming, a little bit missed the boat on believing that the on-air experience necessarily needs to be the online experience. And I think that's a, you know, if nobody wants to hear this because it's not easy to do what I'm about to say, but creating relevant online streams, you're really competing in a different marketplace. You're competing in a non-linear world with audio music sources that don't have the same as a broadcast experience. And we're typically trying to just take our broadcast stream and make it available different ways. And I think that that's an old school way of thinking about it and not as relevant as really wanting to compete with the Spotify's and the Pandora's and all those kind of guys. Mm-hmm. So I think that's actually more important than it's really easy to get, I think, found on speakers. And it's easy to solve the language problem. And there's lots of technology out there, lots of skilled developers and all those that can ensure that your station is there. Mm-hmm. But I think once you get there, you need to be thinking about, now what? Do I just take my radio station that runs 12 minutes an hour or more of commercial time and expect to be competitive on other devices and other platforms? I think that's the real question. So, I know nobody wants to hear that, but
We saw a beta version of a beautiful new app focused on audio content ready for release from a major Hispanic media company not too long ago. Does that take a lot of dollars? Is that a proposition that a smaller operator just can't stomach? Or is it a vital investment in the future that must be done for Hispanic radio to survive? Andy Whatley, what do you think about that?
I say vital and that, you know, I don't know. I've been whining about broadcasters, and I have one, so I feel like I can say this, but I've been whining for years about broadcasters clinging to their towers. You know, what once was the primary form of distribution is now being competed with by IP technology and IP delivered audio and IP delivered content and on demand delivered content and things that consumers clearly want by the evidence, by the success of all the platforms du jour out there. So I think it's vital to adopt both the technology, be willing to change your thinking about curation of audio content in ways that work on the platform that you're targeting, and not just think we're gonna do the easy way and it's gonna work great. We're gonna take our radio station and we're gonna drop it in here and plug it in over there and put it over here and be available everywhere and all that kind of talk we've been hearing about for years without changing the content to match the technology.
All right. Well, I want to go back to what your business is all about, Instreamatic. It's voice-activated advertising, which, quote, allows users to get a better ad experience. It helps advertisers so they can measure campaign performance and engagement, and it benefits publishers as well with higher ad and fill rates. So let's talk about the value proposition for Hispanic radio. I'm assuming this works in Spanish. Or if not, you're close to that point. And if so, what would a radio station need to do to move forward if they're interested in learning more about this and what it can do for them?
Call me. I would say, call 1-800-222. No, seriously. First of all, yes, we cover over 40 languages. And essentially what we do, by the way, that includes Spanish, of course. Essentially what we do is bring conversational marketing to audio advertising. At the highest 30,000 foot kind of level, that's essentially what we do. And that means, real simply, that we create a conversation between the brand and the listener. And that's a whole different notion, because when you think about it now, all audio advertising talks at the consumer. That doesn't necessarily mean in a negative way, and that's not a negative connotation, but that's in fact what's happening. We're hopefully targeting the right audience. We're delivering a relevant ad that is creatively appropriate to that audience, and we're talking at them. It's a one-way conversation. Imagine being able to have a dialogue, a more resonant relationship. I think podcasts, you know, amplify on that opportunity very heavily with host-read ads and that type of thing, but the same thing is happening here. So I think specific to the Hispanic marketplace and the Spanish language broadcasters, that relationship is identical to any other language. And so long as the platform can truly understand from a natural language understanding perspective how people speak, which the platform does in Spanish very nicely, happy to show you or test it with you, I think that that's kind of first and foremost. And so we provide a beyond that concept, we provide all the tools to manage, to measure, and to monetize voice-enabled advertising. And I'll underline one of those. It's pretty easy to see how interactive dialogue with a consumer would be more engaging and provide higher conversion rates and higher ROI for the advertiser. That's pretty easy to see. What's not quite as obvious, and it's pretty interesting, is really that we really solved the click challenge. You know, think of us as click 2.0. A voice-enabled ad is a click, but it's done by voice, not by touching the screen. Largely, in the mobile world, we live in a hands-free, screen-free, click-free, swipe-free kind of environment, and to that end, we provide an ability to do that. So if a person's driving down the road where so much radio listening is taking place, whether it be to a stream or maybe a podcast or whatever, a lot of it happens on the go, on the fly, both devices, and we address that marketplace, which largely was a little tough to deal with before. So I think that's probably a core value proposition that isn't as obvious. We really solve the challenge, but we also solve the measurement and attribution challenge, because for the first time in 70 years of audio history, we're able to measure audio campaign performance and consumer insights at a very deep level. So we're able to measure when a person says, yeah, I'd like to learn more, or download that app, or call the company, or buy that, you know, from that site, or put it on my calendar, or make a donation, or any one of the numerous target actions that are available on our platform. We're able to measure every single interaction in real time with a live dashboard that's given to the marketer, the advertiser, and it allows them to monitor their campaign, do A/B testing, and optimize the campaign in real time on the fly. That's a game changer, frankly, a huge game changer.
All right. Well, we are out of time, so I'm going to have to say to Andy Whatley in Las Vegas attending CES, thank you. This is Copyright 2019 Streamline Publishing. The Hispanic Radio Podcast is distributed by the Radio and Television Business Report and by our partners at Radio Inc. and HispanicAd.com. You want to learn more about Hispanic radio? Why don't you make a plan to have the most educational and most informative spring break in South Florida you could ever think of? It is the Radio Inc. Hispanic Radio Conference. It's held March 12th, 13th, and it is going to be at the Intercontinental Doral, very conveniently located to Miami International Airport. And Mr. Whatley will be joining us for an afternoon session right before the events close on March 13th. Why don't you join us, too? For more information, visit HispanicRadioConference.com, and you can find all of our most recent Hispanic Radio podcasts there as well. I am Adam R. Jacobson. Thank you, Andy, for participating.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to help you at the conference.
Okay. We hope to see you, too, at the conference. Again, more information, just visit us at HispanicRadioConference.com. Thanks a lot for listening. Have a great day.